Hawks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with me or a show host. Kind of a semi-hectic show today. We'll hear from Shane Stringer here, one of our Monday regulars, in about a half hour. Sam Roberts from McCombie Daily, we're going to go through his rundown of election numbers, primarily statewide elections. We'll hear from him where he thinks these races are, kind of the last deep dive analysis before y'all go vote tomorrow. And then from WVNN in Huntsville, Dale Jackson. We'll hear from him in the 11 o'clock hour. But also got a couple of call-ins. People asked for a little time on the show. We typically book the show, but the last minute here, we'll hear from, I think, John Wall, going to call in for a few minutes at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, and Pam Casey at the top of the 11 o'clock hour to talk about their campaigns, and we'll hear from them. So, well, like I said, kind of a hectic show today and a lot of campaign ads. So you'll get your fill. But tomorrow we go vote, and that seems to be where a lot of the interest is. But first, the weekend, we had some protests in Montgomery and Selma. You hear me say this a lot this morning, and they were in the lead up to these quote unquote protests, showing pictures of buses coming in. The cavalry was on the way. The Freedom Riders 2.0, the 2026 version, they're coming to Selma. They're coming to Montgomery. This redistricting stuff won't stand. The people are going to be heard. You guys are trying to rig our elections, and we won't stand for it. And then on the heels of that, this is my favorite. It was just like kind of a victory lap. From especially from AL.com, but Terry Sewell was on every show imaginable yesterday that would take her. Roy Johnson, who adds nothing really of substance to the conversation. He's bomb throwing. Left-wing, race card playing, AL.com columnist. Johnson calling the South Rose again, and it's black. Well, I was just like thinking about this. This is truly the case. Either the two of the most historic cities, at least in Alabama, when it comes to the civil rights movement. Well, three. We can throw in Birmingham, but Montgomery. It's Selma. They had to bus in protesters in two of the most predominantly African-American cities in the state. They still had to bus in protesters. This outrage. I'm sorry if they offend you, left-wing texters. It's AstroTurf. This is not what people care about. At least among the people in those cities, a lot of you do care about redistricting. It's funny to watch. I'm just kind of like, you couldn't stir up enough protesters in Montgomery. You had to bus in the paid political activist. For Selma, Alabama, And for Montgomery, Alabama, you had to bus people in to protest so that Terry Sewell, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Doug Jones could have a backdrop to make it look like there were people there. And it just, it's got me scratching my head here. Now, look, you know, people could protest and do whatever they want. It's perfectly fine. But they did the part of it that really makes me laugh is how just a protest alone is a W. It's a win. It's a victory. John Archbold, white people, comma, go to Selma. John Archbold went to Selma on Saturday. He wants you to know this. The moment I can't stop thinking about from Saturday in Selma. But the AL.com guys got their marching orders. This is what they're doing. They're going to play this up. But it's not really a real thing. I mean, I want to see what turnout looks like tomorrow in Dallas County, in the Montgomery precincts. Did this take anything? I mean, was it above average? Now, there's nothing to vote for, really, in a Democrat primary. Maybe they vote in a Republican primary, and that'll teach us a lesson about closed primaries. So that's I just had to comment on that and thought it was somewhat amusing to see it yesterday on a lot of the national media. Text line 251-343-0106. Tomorrow is election day. All of the late breaking not really showing up, and we'll hear from Sam if he sees anything, but nothing really feels like it's moving. Everything at this point is pretty much baked in. Anything that happens tomorrow that's not, you know, kind of in line with the polls is going to be a shock. A little bit of a surprise. So they'd be like upsets or, you know, shocker. But Tommy Tuberville should be the victor for the Republican nomination for governor. Then you go down the ballot, and I expect runoffs in almost every race, except for Caroline Dobson, who probably will win it outright, denied. Tomorrow, we'll probably have runoffs in the U.S. Senate race, in the Attorney General race, and what do you have after that? To the governor. Then we'll have, you keep going down the ballot. Ag commissioner. I do expect a runoff there. Treasurer Young Boozer, who was in Fairhope last week, should win his nomination outright. That's another one. An auditor will decide tomorrow. We'll have a winner in that. Derek Chen and Andrew Sorrell. Chen's up on air a lot. Seen a lot of his ads in the last, 48 hours or so. It will be the most expensive state auditor race in history. And this is all with the backdrop of these congressional races. They'll be on the ballot, but you could go in and fill them out and put something down, but they won't count because August 11th is the real movement there. We don't know if the lower court is going to go ahead and green light this. why they're dragging their feet. Judge Manasco, Terry Moore, these guys must not like the Supreme Court ruling. But that's maybe why they sat the election to be held in August to let all this play out. Let's see. United States Circuit Court Judge Stanley Marcus, District Judge Anna Manasco, and District Judge Terry Moore called a hearing for 9 a.m. Friday in Birmingham to discuss a preliminary injunction filed by the NAACP and the ACLU. So that's on Friday at the Vance Federal Building is when they expect that to expect to be underway. And maybe we'll get an answer by then. And then if they don't give the answer that a lot of us are hoping for, then I think it'll have to go back up to the Supreme Court. And that's will ultimately prevail there. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, that's how you do so. But tomorrow's election day, how you feeling out there? Kind of curious. Anybody still undecided? We still have a number of undecided showing up at the polling. What are you waiting on? It's go time. The feeling is, if you're still undecided at this point, you're probably not going to show up tomorrow. And that's kind of the problem. Just, what are you getting excited about on the ballot? Is there anything on there that's like, yeah, I got to get out and vote for this? Because not having a contested gubernatorial primary takes a little bit out of it. But even with a U.S. Senate primary, there just lacks an oomph, an excitement. I guess there's some enthusiasm. If you're just judging it based on enthusiasm, Jared Hudson has some enthusiasm behind him. We think that Marshall will get a bump because of the redistricting saga. And then Barry Moore's just a Trump endorsed guy. Trump doing a teletown hall event tonight for Congressman Moore. Clearly Trump behind him. Let's see. We got tonight. Moore. 7 p.m. And then you could go to Barry Moore's at B. Moore Senate if you really want them details to join in on that. So that's as far as the enthusiasm goes for the U.S. Senate race. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program? Hit me up there. Pick it up on the other side. More of your text. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. Like a rhinestone cowboy, getting cards and letters. Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. We're kicking it off with Toothless Spammers. At least Louisiana voters have been paying attention. Really, Cassidy just getting crushed. So, three-way race there. Cassidy, the incumbent. Julia Letlow, the Trump endorsed candidate. And John Fleming, the treasurer, former congressman from Louisiana. And, Cassidy's one of the impeachment Republicans. He's done. You would have thought as an incumbent, he could have at least made the runoff, I suppose. But after Indiana and now after this, there's real power with the Trump endorsement. I think that's what John Wall and Barry Moore have to be hoping for. That maybe people are really noticing, it's just not showing up in the polling. But that's because that doesn't, you know, it wasn't so much a surprise that Cassidy lost, but that he didn't get a plurality. But that it became anybody but him. That's where Trump, you get, I mean, this will be interesting to watch with Massey in Kentucky. Let's see here. Hey, Jeff, this is Billy D. I have a question for you. When did the Democratic Party decide they were for African-American community and the African-American community are only Democrats? When did that happen? Because I know several African-Americans who are deep red. When LBJ declared his, like, war on poverty, about that time is when it really, they solidified the African-American support on the Democrat side. The Voting Rights Acts. All the, like, kind of post-Kennedy civil rights stuff. That's when it solidified, it coalesced around it, the African-American vote, coalesced around the Democratic Party. Because you got to remember, guys, Democrats are the party of segregation. Strom Thurmond, George Wallace, what, Rankin? I mean, you could go through these Southern Democrats. That was their thing. But that changed. And you saw the Democrats became, you know, you saw this, like, third party stuff. But really, that's when it became sort of finalized. And that evolution took place a lot faster. But that's the answer to your question. Derek says he's writing in Ricky for everything. Way to use your vote there. Please comment on the total defeat of Bill Cassidy in Louisiana. That's what I was just saying, that, you know, I don't know what other takeaway there is, except if Donald Trump is working against you, I asked Jeff Sessions, Mo Brooks, when he becomes, it's not so much that he's supporting another guy, but if he starts working against you, then you really feel the pain. Scrollverine. I'm worried about the Democratic primary with Adeline Clark being challenged by radical nut Shayla Dowdy. Not sure what I make of that either. I've really been following that one, to be honest. Troy. Hi, Jeff. Election? There's an election tomorrow? Monty. Birch helped prime by endorsing Harwell. I'm not sure how, I don't know how that really plays. We often look at these things like there's some kind of backroom conspiracy, and sometimes it's just, oh, I go to church with this guy or something like that. Toothless Bammer back again. Cassidy was on record for the impeachment vote, but 6 months ago, he was touting Trump. It's what the country needs now. Maybe it's just desperation, but Louisiana had him pegged with his impeachment vote in 2022. 251-343-0106. Keep those texts coming. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And in one day, a wealthy customer bought the Indian maid. He took her home so far away.
Then he cried just south of Nashville, and he turned that car around.
He said, this is where you get off, boy, because I'm going back to Alabama. As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, mister, many thanks. He said, you don't have to call me mister. The whole world called me Hank. He said,
welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll get to your more of your text on the other side. So keep them coming. Joining us now, we do this every other Monday consistently, but State Representative Shane Stringer is now with us on the line for his regularly scheduled appearance. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great on this election eve.
Election eve, that's right. Hey, before we get into election stuff, IED in Big Creek Lake, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I would like to see more about it and be able to learn a little bit more, because I just don't see that somebody going out there trying to detonate the dam or something. But you never know. But I'd like to get a little bit more evidence, see some pictures, and find out a little bit more before I make a decision on it.
It's very peculiar. Now, I'm not so much the IED, but just sort of the circumstances surrounding it. And we don't really have much intel into it at this point, do we?
No, the fact that they supposedly found it, you know, a week or two ahead of time or longer, that's really concerning to me. I just can't understand that part. If you find something, you'd want to get it out immediately. So I don't know about that. I do know that working in that area with the Sheriff's Department for 18 years, we have found a lot of stuff in the lake, from an airplane to stolen guns to everything else. And a lot of people throw stuff in there. So I'm just curious if it's just going to be a scenario like that, or if it is something with some very evil intentions.
Well, and you talk about finding an airplane in there. I mean, the drinking water supply, and I guess they're worried about invasive species, but it sounds like there's probably a lot more down there than that they need to be worried about than some John boat or something.
Yeah, I know over the years, we have found safes, we found stolen property in the lake. And, you know, I remember back when we found the airplane, at that time, Moss didn't even want to remove it. We wind up getting it removed, the Sheriff's Department did, and Moss didn't really care. But, yeah, things have definitely took a change in, I guess, their mindsets now, from zebra mussels to airplanes in the water.
That's so fascinating. Okay, so it's election eve. You and I are talking off air, and maybe it's just a product of not really having a competitive gubernatorial race, but you do have a competitive Senate race. But it feels like a waning enthusiasm here, or maybe we're yet to see it. But it doesn't, for as long as we've been talking election, does it feel like an election eve to you?
No, it's not the hype that I have seen it in the past, but I do think that there's going to be, in certain districts, going to be good turnouts due to some of the campaigning that's taking place by some of these dark money PACs, out-of-state PACs, that's been dumping millions into, like, Senate 34 district. For instance, I think a lot of that's going to draw people to come out, because we do not want outsiders picking who is our representatives.
So, that's what I was going to ask you, because you're getting all these mailers just like most of us. I don't think what I've been told is, and you tell me what you think of this, because it's probably targeted at guys like you, that it's not really about this election. It's just a show of muscle to make you think twice about voting against sports betting, because this is what we're capable of. So legislator, beware.
Yeah, I don't doubt that a bit. Now, it's there's a lot on the line here with this gaming stuff, and the fact that these DraftKings and the conservative pack that they're calling it out of Virginia is dumping the amount of money they are. I think they're close to $3 million, what I've been told, in the Senate 34 district. If that is the case, then that should be extremely concerning to our citizens, that a PAC or group out of Virginia has put that much money in trying to put a candidate in there.
Well, I don't know that it's really moving the needle, though. It's being used in the money in very peculiar ways. Like, if I were actually trying to win an election, I can think of 100 different ways that would be better used than the way this PAC is going about it.
Yeah, I think that they're using tactics and strategies that is probably being used in other states or maybe other parts of the country. And you're 100% correct. That's not being effective in our area. Matter of fact, I will not be so shocked or surprised if a lot of the mailers and tactics that they've used don't backfire on the candidate that they are pushing.
Yeah, because, you know, but like I said, it's this. It's when you guys get back in session in 27 and they want to leave that lasting impression. Like, here's what we're going to do. If you don't come our way, and this is, so let's just operate on that, you know, assumption here. I don't know that they've really accomplished that either. I feel like the gambling vote and the way it's gone, it's pretty much baked in. I don't think you could do it this way to really, I mean, now look, they haven't been running the dirty little secret here is this is gambling money, but they're not running on gambling at all. They're running on like these sort of, you know, right wing platitudes or whatever.
Yeah. And I think you're right. You know, we're watching that, just seeing what's going on. But I think the legislators that are in Montgomery that are against gambling are against it. And I think the ones that are going to be for it are going to be for it. You know, what'll be interesting is maybe the candidates that are new candidates that get elected in this cycle and seeing where they stand with it. And you'll get it. You know, it's been a lot of speculation on both sides of the aisle on this issue and on stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Well, just in general, now I've heard some of Harwell's ads. He's actually talking about it. But the gambling issue in these state legislative races, it hasn't really come up. And, you know, usually it's like when it comes time, you'll have a lawmaker come on who will say he's voting for it, but voting against it, what's on the ballot or what, trying to have it both ways. But as far as our election politics go, very few are really talking about it in under these circumstances.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're working all the angles. And of course, there's been a lot of push polls done to see what is important to the citizens. And that way they can campaign for their, you know, individual candidates and use those topics that they know the people are concerned about. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out and comes together.
Well, that's just it though. It's, you know, that people, what they care about, and I bet you run into this as a state lawmaker, though. So you probably do all the polling or whoever, and you try to get just a snapshot, like, well, what's on people's minds? And you find out that it's just everything is federal politics, and it's not gambling, it's not anything. Maybe I bet you're probably hearing about redistricting, but even that's just overlap into federal politics.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you're 100% correct there. So the information that's being pushed out and so much, you know, in every direction, to the point that I'm getting a lot of calls from citizens that just do not understand and don't know what's true and what's not at this point. And they're asking for my opinion on different candidates and different elections. So it's, you know, I don't know if maybe that's part of the strategy, but there's a lot of confusion in the constituents and our citizens and trying to distinguish what's right and true and what's not. So very confusion for the average citizen, but I still think that most people, you know, they know who the candidates are. They know their hearts. They know what kind of person they are, especially if they've lived in the districts forever. They ain't just, you know, you ain't going to be able to pop something up on them and convince them otherwise.
Yeah, and let's talk about this. And you mentioned people who live in the people who vote in these elections. I mean, in some places, it varies wildly from precinct to precinct in Alabama, depending on where you live. But I suppose if you're really, you know, the people who vote in a Republican primary tomorrow, I'm anticipating maybe lukewarm turnout, probably somewhere in between, 15, 20% in that range. But, like, they pretty much know who these people are. Maybe not in all the statewide elections, but when you're talking about these state legislative races, if you're going out to vote, you've met this person somewhere or you've interacted with this person in your daily life.
Yeah, absolutely. And nowadays with social media, you can kind of keep up and track people even from afar. And you get a good idea who they are and what they're about and their families. And like you said earlier, you know, go to church with them or in groups or social circles with them. So I think the citizens have a pretty good idea. You know, it's hard to come out and say something about a candidate when everybody pretty much already knows that person. So.
Because the advertising, the negative advertising, it is just not leaving the mark. Maybe that it used to. We're joined by State Representative Shade Stringer here on the program. But what is it, though? Because you have a Senate race, a state Senate race, I guess, in your district going on in the backdrop. Probably going to give that a little bit of a boost relative to everywhere else.
Yeah, I think that one is going to probably draw out a lot of people to come out and vote for that one. And so that should up the participation in that area. But, you know, I think all the negative ads and the money that's been spent on that has really drew so much attention that it's going to, the hype of it is going to draw out more voters than normal. You know, I know I've received probably 25 to 30 mailers just on one candidate, the candidate against Rusty Glover.
Well, and tell me this, though. Do you think I'm very skeptical of this, and I understand why some candidates running tomorrow are concerned, but that there's going to be confusion, that people think they vote on August the 11th, and they're not going to show up tomorrow. I don't think that that's a real thing.
No, I don't think so either. I think everybody's informed and has a pretty good idea, and I think they're going to, you know, get out and support their candidates and do their duties to cast that vote for the candidate of their choice.
Now, we haven't talked since the special session wrapped up, but you feel good about where that ended up?
Yeah, I think so. I think it went well. It was, of course, some chaos there that was, I guess, expected, but we shouldn't expect it with some of the Democrats, you know, their behavior being unacceptable upstairs in the gallery and kind of borderline roughhousing with the law enforcement upstairs.
Well, this just sounds like, we anticipated it. It happened. We're going to move on from that. I to me, that's, if that happens in any other circumstance, there's probably repercussions, but I bet there's not here.
Yeah, I think it needs to be. I think we really need to keep a close eye on that. I mean, we've seen what Tennessee did with all the chaos that erupted up there with their Democrats. And, you know, I think that there has to be some checks and balances in place to make sure that we're all acting proper and nothing wrong with voicing your opinion or protesting or whatever. But when it gets to being rough and interfering with law enforcement as they're attempting to remove somebody that's disorderly, then I think you've crossed the line, and there absolutely needs to be repercussions for that.
Yeah, because, you know, my friend Todd Stacey says, well, you know, Alabama legislative politics is so much better than Washington, D.C. You don't have the partisan infighting. They all get along, but, I mean, all you got to do is put up a picture of Wanda Lynn Gavan a couple of weeks ago in the balcony there, and, I mean, I don't know about you, but that doesn't look like that. It's in the spirit of that. And if you really want to maintain that sort of decorum, then they got to, you know, and Mary Moore as well, they got to at least censure or do something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think mine and Todd's opinion probably differ a lot on that. I think that a lot of times the Democrats, you know, they go along to get along when they're getting something out of it or whatever. And I think that, I just don't think it's as much camaraderie there as some would like us to, or like for people to think. I know we've had a lot of confusion and a lot of name calling and a lot of accusations made on the floor during the special session.
Well, that's wrapped up, but y'all did the right thing there. You think 6-1 for now, but definitely 7-0 in the future.
Yeah, I think when you see Coach come in, I think Coach Duberville is going to come in and we'll get things more calmed down. And I think at that point, you're going to definitely see a 7-0 mount. But I think 6-1 for now, for sure.
Representative, we always appreciate your time. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Shade Stringer, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning, Election Eve, here in Alabama, primary Election Eve. So tomorrow, you're depending on your party, you get to vote on who will be in the general election in November on the ballot. Sort of our system here. Where you pick a nominee, you show up and you pick the nominee. Then in Alabama, generally speaking, the general election is a formality. Mostly Republicans win statewide. And then your local elections go pretty much as however the partisan lean of that district or your precinct goes. So that's what to expect tomorrow. Anticipating lower turnout just because there's not a lot of oomph at the top of the ballot. But it's going to vary wildly, I think, based on the local elections. Now, they were anticipating higher turnout where you had this contested congressional primary, but you don't have that till August 11th now in AL1. So does that... I mean, there's some very unintended consequences here to what's going on. Kind of interesting dynamic. Rick, been a while since I've listened to you. Been under the weather medically. So if you were in Trump's cabinet and he had your ear, what would you advise? Very anxious to hear this. Figure out a way to wind Iran down. That's the priority. Now, I'm viewing this from a political, through a political lens. I just think gas prices are going to be poison for Republican efforts in the general election, and that's what really matters. Figure out a way to get a W, get a victory in Iran, and live to fight another day. What Trump needed, what Republicans needed for Trump to have, I mean, not Trump, but for them to have a successful November. And successful varies. The expanding majorities, that's kind of wish casting. But at least to stave off some of the potential damage here, Rick, the damage control had the most optimistic outcome. It's to me, it's Iran. Those of you who are kind of, pro Iran intervention, the Trump said tomorrow we're done. Are you going to not vote for him? You're like, well, I was going to vote for a Republican, but I'm going to vote for a Democrat now. I just think you gotta look at it through the lens of you gotta live to fight another day. You gotta figure out a way to get those gas prices down. Whether we like it or not, that's how people are gonna vote. They're gonna vote their sense of well-being, their quality of life. And you wanna reinforce that as much as possible heading into November. And right now, it's not going in a great direction. Keep the text coming, 251-343-0106. John Wall coming up in just a moment for a few minutes, and then we'll get to more of your texts. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.